Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Lord God, you never slumber nor sleep, but your eyes are always open to our needs. Watch over our welfare on this perilous journey. Shade us from the dangers that surround us, and keep us safe from harm through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Part 4 tonight of our Passion History, taken from Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom of the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with the staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Here ends tonight's Passion History.
Marvelous mystery. Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're nearing the end of our look this year at the seven words from the cross that Jesus spoke. Tonight, the word from John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So far, God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. Martin Luther once said, "Preach one thing, the wisdom of the cross." What do you suppose Luther meant by those words? Well, one of the things he meant was that we can have all kinds of knowledge, can't we? We can have knowledge of mathematics, philosophy, English, physics. And yet, if, as God's people, we lose sight of the central message of the cross of Jesus Christ, then really what good is any of those things? Or, and I suppose this especially applies to those children here tonight who are in the Christian Day School here at St. Mark's, we could learn all kinds of Bible passages. We could memorize the names of all the judges. We could know backwards and forwards the names of all the kings of the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. We could know all the prophets, unless we know why Jesus went to that cross, we might as well be studying the histories of Cicero or Socrates or Seneca. The bottom line, fellow Christians, is throughout the year, and especially during this Lenten season, we focus on the cross of Jesus Christ because the cross of Christ gives meaning to everything else. It makes clear to us everything else in the pages of Scripture, pointing out to us also how we should live. And tonight, we're going to take a look at these words of Jesus, which remind all of us not only what Jesus did on the cross, we'll talk about that, we'll review it, but also how to treat other people, what that sacrifice of Jesus Christ means for our life today as we see Jesus taking care of his mother. Many of you, I would imagine, have pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in your homes. And probably some of you have a crucifix somewhere, whether it's on a necklace somewhere, maybe it's hanging up on one of your walls in your house. But you know, none of those scenes really do justice to the cross and what happened there. Even the front of our bulletin, as nice as it is, doesn't really give an accurate picture of the crucifixion. The crucifixion of Christ, as we've heard again this season, was a horrible thing, wasn't it? Bloody and shameful. Remember when Paul writes to the Romans there in the first chapter, he says to those Roman Christians, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ." You ever wonder why Paul would have to say that to those group of that group of people? "I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ." He had to say that to those Roman citizens, those Christians at Rome, because especially in that day, the cross was a shameful thing, wasn't it? People back then, I wouldn't imagine, would feel very kindly and very nice about wearing a cross around their neck. Years ago, I suppose it'd sort of be like wearing an electric chair, a little model of the electric chair around your neck. For most people in Jesus' day, the cross was a horrible thing. It was a form of execution reserved for the worst of the worst. Remember the prophet Isaiah, even 8 centuries before Jesus went to that cross, he said about Jesus, he pictured him there, and he said Jesus was like one from whom men hide their faces. Now, most of you here tonight, I would imagine, have already seen The Passion of Jesus Christ, Mel Gibson's film. Many of you, maybe a little bit squeamish, some of you haven't seen it. What I'm going to do tonight, before we consider the words before us this evening, is just review a little bit of some of what went on at that crucifixion. Some of you have read this pamphlet before. It's The Crucifixion of Christ from a Medical Point of View. This man's a doctor who wrote this. He says, the crucifixion begins. Jesus is offered wine mixed with myrrh, a mild analgesic mixture. He refuses to drink. Simon is ordered to place the crossbeam on the ground, and Jesus is quickly thrown backward with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy, square, wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flexibility and movement. The crossbeam is then lifted in place at the top of the upright beam, and the title reading, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is nailed in place. The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees moderately flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrists, excruciating fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms into the brain. The nails in the wrists are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places his full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, there is searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of the feet. The writer goes on for several pages. He concludes here, hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation and searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back when he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest as the pericardial slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. You know, people, as gruesome as that is, as horrible as those scenes were, if you've seen the movie, Mel Gibson's movie, the physical suffering of Jesus was just the very tip of the iceberg. Like those icebergs you see in the ocean, much more is underneath the surface. The physical suffering of Jesus was just a small part of his overall suffering. The greater suffering he endured was the suffering of hell, forsaken by his heavenly Father. The Son about whom it's mentioned twice in Scripture, this is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased, now becomes the Son, the man whom God the Father hates and punishes. Tonight, we get a glimpse of seeing Mary at the foot of the cross, watching all of this take place to her son. You moms here tonight, can you imagine what must have been going through Mary's heart and mind as she saw her son being stretched upon that cross? And suffering not only that physical pain, but the spiritual pain, the abandonment by his heavenly Father. You moms here tonight, and I guess we could say parents, right? We love our children, don't we? In fact, maybe some of us, or most of us here tonight as parents, we've been accused a time or two of spoiling those kids. We love those children. We want the best for them. And here's Mary. She raises Jesus. She cares for him all the way since he was a little baby, a little boy growing up in and around Nazareth. She tenderly cares for him and provides for him. And now how her heart must have been breaking as she sees her son suffering and dying for the sins of the world. But you know, there's another picture here tonight as Jesus takes care of her mom, of his mother. And it's a picture that applies again to you children here tonight. Those of you who are in confirmation class right now, or maybe it's been a little while since you were confirmed, remember how you learned in the fourth commandment that we are to respect and honor our parents because they are God's representatives? Don't we see Jesus doing that on the cross? Here he is. He's in agony. He's got these nails in his hands and his feet. He's suffering the agony of hell to pay for the sins of the world. And yet, children, what's he doing? He's looking out for his mother, isn't he? You know, sometimes, children, I wonder if maybe we have that same attitude towards mom and dad. Isn't it true, children and young people here tonight, isn't it true that sometimes when mom or dad, they ask us to do something like, hey, make your bed or clean your room or take out the garbage? Instead of saying, hey, mom, dad, I'll do that. Instead of having that cheerful attitude which simply obeys mom and dad, out of love for them and out of love for the Savior, how many times is it maybe just the opposite? Where we whine and complain about cleaning those rooms. Or as a young person, mom and dad, they set that curfew time, right? 11 a.m., 12 a.m., whatever it is. And we always seem to want to stretch that instead of simply obeying what they tell us to out of love for them. We see Jesus here tonight, even though he's in physical agony and he's taking the world's sins upon himself, yet he has time to respect and honor and take care of his mother. Remember, people, there's no welfare system at this time. Oh, sure, we gripe and complain, don't we, sometimes about the health care system or lack thereof or how many doctors' bills we have and how the whole health care system needs to be reformed and Social Security and the whole shebang, right? But Mary's got nothing. Joseph's probably dead by now. We're told in John chapter 7 that at least at that time, and maybe at the time of the crucifixion, Jesus' brothers, and if he has any sisters, they're laughing at the notion that he's the Savior. John 7 tells us that they made fun of him when he claimed to be the Savior. And who knows, maybe they still have this attitude as he's being crucified. Will they take care of Mary? Jesus makes sure that his mom is taken care of. He's fulfilling everything, being perfect for us for all the times that we haven't. You know, when Luther said, preach the wisdom of the cross, he didn't mean either, though, that we just focus on the sins that nailed Jesus to that cross. There's another message to the wisdom of the cross, isn't there? You know, I wonder how many of us here tonight maybe came and sat down in these pews burdened with some sin or guilt. Talking about children and young people tonight, maybe we recognize that we haven't been those good and faithful children, haven't always obeyed mom and dad like we should. Or maybe there are some of you here tonight, my age or around my age, and you realize, hey, I haven't called mom or dad or said hello to them or done anything for weeks or months. I just haven't been the kind of son or daughter that I should be. Or maybe we recognize tonight that we're not the kind of parents or sons or daughters that God wants us to be. Maybe we look our next door neighbor, we realize we haven't been loving to them either like we should. Whatever it is, part of the wisdom of the cross, a big part, is realizing that when Jesus went to that cross, he paid for all of those sins, didn't he? We're reminded here tonight as Jesus takes care of his mother, providing perfectly for her, that he's won our redemption and paid for all of our sins. He's not only lived a perfect life for us, he suffered hell for all the times that we've sinned against our God. So people, if you're troubled by a sin tonight, if there's maybe a sin in your life that haunts you at night or keeps you worried during the day, let's remember tonight that before you were even born, before that sin even started to trouble you or haunt you, Jesus paid completely for it, didn't he? When Jesus said those words on the cross, "It is finished," he meant what he said. If God comes to me in the pages of Scripture, and especially during this Lenten season, and he says to me, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven," who am I to say, "No, I'm not," and beat myself up because of my guilt and sins? You know, fellow Christians, there are a lot of people out there in this world today who don't have the hope and peace that we have. So many people just in the Sacramento area who are living with that guilt, like a sack of potatoes, carrying around all day long that guilt of the sins that they've committed. I'd like us, as we begin to leave this Lenten season, to do what Martin Luther encouraged us to do, to preach the wisdom of the cross. To go to those neighbors or those friends who don't know Jesus by faith and give them the good news that they have a Savior in Christ. That Jesus is much more than just a prophet or a good man. He's our Savior from sin. Through him, we have peace and comfort, have hope and strength. May God give us then the strength and the courage to go out into this world and preach that message of the cross, that message of forgiveness and grace. And yes, with his help, children, with his help, to treat our parents with honor, respect, like Jesus did. May God grant that to all of us for his sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
O God, our Father, by your mercy and might, the world turns safely into darkness and returns again to light. We place in your hands our unfinished tasks, our unsolved problems, and our unfulfilled hopes, knowing that only what you bless will prosper. To your great love and protection, we commit each other and all those we love, knowing that you alone are our sure defender. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who watch or work or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, give rest to the weary, pity the afflicted, soothe the suffering, bless the dying, all for your love's sake.
Amen.
The Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen.
My privilege to be here with you this evening. Special welcome to those of you who might be visiting with us tonight.